Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is part one of a four-part new sermon series entitled Move Mountains, and today's message is specifically titled God is on the Move, based off of Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Let us dive into the Word today.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness night. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters, to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the second day. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God for this word.
Approach your throne.
the work of creating began with God in the book of Genesis, where we see God's spirit hovering over the depths, over the chaos, and from that, breathing life and order out of the chaos. God is on the move. God always has been and is on the move. Now, never has there been a more appropriate time to speak of God's movement. We can just turn on the TV set and see God's movement happening everywhere. We can see people rising up to stand up against injustice and to stand up for civil rights of human beings who ought not to be judged by the color of their skin. We can see God's movement in the church as the Spirit works for change to include more people in the kingdom of God, just as God has done throughout the centuries. When we look at the Bible itself, we can see God's movement. God's movement can be seen in creation itself. God's movement can be seen in the ordered steps of the first creation story, the story which we read today from in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. God took ordered steps to bring life out and order out of the chaos. We can also see God's movement in the first people, as is told in the second creation story, and how sin entered into the picture because God's people chose to follow their own desires rather than to follow God. And God, rather than leave them, moves with them in the garden and even outside of the garden once they're no longer able to live there. We can see God's movement in the clouds and in bringing forth promises to God's people. Even though their sin continually separates them further from God, God is continually moving closer and closer to people. We can see God's movement in human form when God came as a human and bore the sins of the world upon his shoulders. In order to take those sins and to die for them so that we might have life and life eternal, and that we might once and for all be reconciled with God, our Creator. We can see movement. God's movement can be seen in the early church as it struggled to include Gentiles in the covenant and community of God. We can see movement. We can see God's movement in the expansion of Christianity from a small sect to overtaking the Roman Empire peaceably through the good news. We can see God's movement through all of the centuries and throughout all of the church history. We can see God's movement in people like Saint Francis of Assisi. We can see God's movement in people such as Joan of Arc. People such as Martin Luther and Loyola of Ignatius of Loyola. We can see God's movement in people like John Wesley, and in Christians who fought for abolition during the movement of slavery. People like Harriet Tubman, who was guided by God to lead God's people, the people enslaved by white Americans, to freedom. We can see God's movement in Rosa Parks, in Mother Teresa, in the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We can see God's movement in people like Reverend Gil Caldwell, who's still alive at the young age of 86 years old, who marched with Dr. King in several marches and also was a leader in leading people, including his congregations, which he ministered to understanding the need for social and racial justice and accepting all people. We can see God's movement today in people standing up and crying out for justice and for acceptance and for racial equality in the Black Lives Matter movement. People who are no longer afraid to admit to a white nation that black lives indeed matter. We can see God's movement in people like Mark Miller and others who are standing up and saying it is not okay to exclude people because of who they were born to be, that all people, LGBTQ or otherwise, belong in the community of God, and God loves them as they were created. We can see the movement of God in so many different ways. Friends, maybe we have seen or experienced a time of great movement. In fact, I would say we all have. Some of those movements might be scary. Perhaps an earthquake where the plates underneath the earth are literally moving and shaking our world. And sometimes they can be exciting. Sometimes they can be exciting, such as moving to a new location or starting a new career. I'm right now recording this a little early, but I'm right now looking forward to the movement of vacation, taking a break and going and doing something and seeing things and getting out of a house that I've been stuck in for months, as we all have been. Movement can be exciting and it can be scary, no doubt. Now, in our scripture reading today, we see that as God created, God swept over and spoke all of creation into being. Now, God was not just active in the movement, but God was the very source and cause of that movement. We see God bringing movement as his spirit hovers over the waters, over the chaos of the cosmos, and bringing life and order out of it. We see how God moved rain clouds and parted them and made way for promising rainbows. Movement can be seen throughout the Old and the New Testaments. In fact, the Old and New Testaments both witness to a God who is very active in the world, a God who loves the world, a God who is constantly interfering in history so that people may be drawn closer to God and saved from their sin. Unlike the deist belief that God is some sort of being who's separate and apart, aloof and unattached to the world, created the world but let the world go to its own demise. That is not the God we believe in as Christians. That is not the God of the Old and the New Testament. God's movement is not just limited to nature either. In our baptism liturgy, we talk about how God's Spirit hovered over the chaos of the water. How many times can I say that, right? But God's Spirit hovered over the chaos of the water. And like God brought life and order to all of creation, in baptism, God brings life and order out of the chaos of our own lives and gives us a clean heart. God is continually working to change us into something new. Through baptism, God not only makes us individually something new, but God also communally makes us something new. Through baptism, God invites the community into the participation of God's movement and work in the world. Now, Jesus is empowering you to be a part of this dynamic movement. I want you to think about that. Jesus is empowering you to be a part of this dynamic movement. In what ways are you called to be a part of the movement of God? In what ways has God placed passions and desires in your heart to change the world around you? In what ways can you contribute to the ministries and the mission of the church so that change, real lasting transformative change, can happen? Perhaps God, my friends, is calling you to respond in any number of ways. Perhaps you are a natural organic leader, somebody who's just willing to take the bull by the horns and do what it takes to get things done and to inspire people along the way to join you. Perhaps you're not a leader. Perhaps you're just somebody who is good at doing what you're called to do, but you like to be under the radar and do it with little to no attention. Perhaps you are a person who's a visionary. Maybe you're not sure how to lead people to do the things that you envision, but you're a person who is been given the gifts of visioning the future, visioning how things in the world around us, in the community around us, in the church around us ought to change. God is empowering you to be a part of this dynamic movement. You, my friends, can reach out into the community and invite others to be connected to our faith community and to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. You, my friends, are being called to lead people, including yourselves, into a deeper and more generous and more faithful giving a place where we give generously and faithfully to the mission and the ministry of Jesus Christ. You, my friends, are being called to make connections with the youth of our community and to find creative ways in which we can draw them into a deeper and more committed relationship with Christ. You are being called to discover the ways in which our own church and our own community need to change and better adapt so that we may be reaching out to people everywhere in all ways. We have seen in our church alone how God is moving through these times. Just like the early church struggled to find ways of reaching out to a community that shunned them, just as the early church found new and creative ways to include people such as the Gentiles who were different than them, we too have been called in this pandemic to adapt to the technology and to the the different ways in which we can, and the different tools in our bag in which we can reach out to other people. Perhaps you have technological skills to offer. Perhaps you have ways in which we are neglecting to be the best witnesses we can be of Jesus Christ. Friends, can you even imagine a world with no movement, no breezes, no travel, no activity whatsoever? My guess is, looking at the world around us and how much the slowing down that the pandemic has caused has cramped most of our styles, I can't imagine that any of us really can grasp the idea of a world with zero movement. Movement is a constant part of who we are as people. None of us are stagnant, no matter how stagnant we think we may be. None of us are completely rejecting of change, as long as the change goes along with what we want. Jesus is asking us as a community to not look at what we want, but to align our hearts with what God wants, and to join in that movement so that we may effect transformative change in our communities. Friends, we can do this. Together, we can do this because God has done it first for us. We can do this because God has already moved mountains, and God has invited us to have and use the power to move mountains through our faith. Together, we should not look at mountains as obstacles, but as opportunities. As we move together, we are being challenged to see what we see as an obstacle and to convert that thought into a thought and a mindset of opportunity. Together, friends, if we work together in faith, we can and will, by the power of God, move mountains. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I just thank you and praise you for this opportunity to discuss your movement in the world, to discuss our call to participate in the mountain moving that you are setting before us. Lord, there are mountains that stand in our way from us moving from where we are to where you have called us to be. But with that said, Lord, you are calling us to step out in faith, to have the faith the size of a mustard seed so that we can say to that mountain, mountain, you move from where you are to over there, for Christ is calling me and calling our church and calling us all to the other side, and you will not stand in our way. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity to join you in what you are doing, and we ask that you strengthen us and give us the courage and the commitment to do so. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.